Please stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de las puertas.
Hey everybody, welcome to Unlocking the Magic. You're listening to episode number 444. We are really happy that you're joining us today and we hope you like it.
Yeah, welcome to the show everybody. That's Constantina, I'm Bruce. We're going to talk a little bit about restaurants, underrated ones.
We're going to talk underrated restaurants. We're going to update it. It's 2024, so a lot of these restaurants either were, you know, something that we just underestimated before or just really never talked about in the past. So I'm excited to get into some of them. And of course, we have some of our classics that you'll hear that we do often talk about because the good ones, they're always going to be underrated.
Yeah, sometimes they change, right? And they change the menu or they change some items on the menu that you really liked and you go back and you're like, you know what? I don't know if I love this restaurant as much as I did before. We need to go back to our old episodes. This is episode number 444. We need to go back because that's a lot of episodes. And if you go back and listen to the first 100, opinions slash what we talked about may have changed.
Things have changed, of course. That's one of the things that we all know now is that the parks are always changing. Things are changing as well. And I agree, opinions, right?
Sometimes they change for the better and for the worse.
That's true. Very, very true. Well, we're really excited that you're here today. Thanks for joining us. I just shared, there was a video on TikTok that I just found, and there was a woman that was reviewing our podcast.
Oh, no.
Talking about us. No, it was good. It was really sweet. It was from a while back, but I don't know. I just found it recently on TikTok. If you're not on TikTok, you should get on there. It's really fun. It's a lot of things on there.
Well, now that you mentioned it, what's our name on TikTok so they can follow us?
It's Unlocking the Magic.
Oh, all right.
So we're on TikTok. Some funny videos there. It's more about silliness. We do share a lot more Universal stuff on there, so if that's your thing, if you're interested in learning a little bit more about Universal and our experiences there, I do tend to share a little bit more over there.
You know what? And if you are into Universal, go check out Unlocking the Magic Travel blog. We've been doing some blog posts over there about Universal. So if you're listening to this podcast, you're like, I'm not a Universal person. You know what? You might be, and you just don't know it.
That's true. Listen, you know who changed my opinion? Not only the kids, as they got older, they really got into it. We had one really true, amazing trip when one of our daughters turned 16. It was her 16th birthday. And that's really where the things changed for me over there. But ultimately, it was somebody very famous from Disney, from the Disney world, somebody that we've had on our show that likes Universal too and is not afraid to admit it and share it. And I'm talking about Mark Daniel.
Yeah.
So I love him and I love all his content and everything he shares. He's been doing a lot more TikToks, sharing secrets, things that I would never even know. I mean, I do a lot of research for our shows, but things that he talks about, I don't even feel like I've scratched the surface yet.
All right, and last thing I'll say about that is Universal gets a bad rap for, they have a lot of screen rides, but Disney's kind of doing a lot of screen rides lately too, so yeah. It's not all screen rides over there. Give it a chance. Go check out the blog over at Unlocking the Magic Travel and read some of the articles we have on that.
I just need to do a Universal day where it's my style, and then I think other people will maybe like it because I'm not big into screen rides either. So anyways, that's on TikTok if you want to check that out. Or if you just want to hang here and listen, we are going to share our top 10 underrated restaurants. What we are going to do today, we're going to start from the bottom. We'll do 10 and then we'll list the number one underrated restaurant. So we'll do a backwards thing.
Roger that.
All right. So listen, there's over 200 places to eat in Walt Disney World. And to me, the big part of the fun is the food, right? But I think a lot of the restaurants, some steal the spotlight. Some are very well known, whether it's character dining or the ambiance, people want to snag a reservation. But here are some hidden gems that I think are really waiting to be discovered. And, so,
you know, most people stumble upon these restaurants. There's tiers to restaurants, right? Like there's the top tier, which is really popular restaurants, highly themed, hard to get into. Then there's the second tier, maybe restaurants that have been around for a little while that are still hard to get into, but not as hard. And then there's restaurants that you can get into whenever you want.
Pretty much.
And sometimes people look at the, you can get in there whenever you want. And they just think because of that, maybe it's not a great restaurant.
True.
So we're here to say,
check it out.
That's a lie.
And I also think lately, so we're heading into the beginning of 2024, but I think now I'm definitely seeing more openings with the reservations when it comes to a lot of the Walt Disney World restaurants. Whereas before, I definitely think it might have been a staffing issue. Restaurants weren't able to be able to host at full capacity. So it was really harder to get certain reservations than it is now. I'm highly optimistic. I'm actually crossing my fingers that I'm not jinxing this, but that's what I'm seeing overall. But anyway, to start this list, we're going to start off with number 10. Please hear me out because I think some people are going to scratch their heads with this one, but Nine Dragons Restaurant.
Why would they scratch their heads? I think this is the name of the show. It's underrated, right? Yeah. Like people may scratch their heads because they haven't tried it yet.
That's true. I mean, I think with this particular restaurant now, this one is located in China Pavilion of Epcot's World Showcase. I think what makes people skip over this one, including us for a very long time, was the fact that you can probably get pretty easily get this type of food, Chinese food, wherever you're from.
Right? Yeah, this is probably a restaurant that's your favorite restaurant that has a similar menu to this one near you.
Right. Now, this one we've kind of fell upon, right? We were in Epcot. We were looking for reservations, couldn't find it. And then this one popped up pretty much open all day that, you know, we could pick and choose what time we wanted to actually do the meal.
This literally was what I just said. It said this was something that was open and available. And we're like, all right, we'll go there.
Yeah, we'll try it. I mean, first of all, we looked at the price too. So the lunch menu and dinner menu are right now between $15 to $35 per adult. So that also factors in, especially in Epcot, right? Because you don't want to spend too much, maybe sometimes on a restaurant, too much time in one so that you can try others.
I think we went here for lunch and it was pretty good sized portions for lunch.
Right. Now, one thing I was really wild with was the ambiance walking in. It was definitely a lot different than my local restaurant. I mean, they had really beautiful glass etching of the two dragons chasing a glowing pearl. I mean, really pretty ambiance at first. I have this video that I took and I was really taken back from the colors. And once we sat down, it was pretty simple, pretty easy, and a menu that we're probably used to, right? So the menu that they offer are pretty similar to probably what you can get at home. However, what I was really impressed with was the portion size. I'm a big eater when it comes to my eyes, and I love a big plate of food. I tend to, sometimes I overdo it, but I really get annoyed when I'm paying a price and I get tiny portions.
Yeah, that's a bummer. When you get tiny portions and you're paying, we just talked about that not too long ago on a recent episode where you have certain expectations based on the price of the menu.
Right. Well, that's why I had to mention it, but I was really pleasantly surprised with the size of the portions. We got appetizers of chicken pot stickers. We got, you love the bao buns, crispy duck bao buns.
I do love the bao buns. I was going to say, give you the bao buns or something that's an appetizer. That, you know, it's not the biggest portion in the world as we're talking about the size of the portions, but it's definitely something that you should try.
Right. Agreed. And I got the honey sesame chicken. It was good. I mean, look, it's nothing out of this world, but what I thought was really underrated was the fact that it's priced right, the portions are big, and it, to me, it tasted very fresh.
And it was hot. Like you mentioned, on the cruise food wasn't ever really that hot, but yes. It was. This food was real hot and fresh. Hot and fresh.
Hot and fresh.
As they say in, what's that? What movie is that? Ant-Man, right? I'll just take something hot and fresh. This is an ice cream place, buddy.
Number 9, Chefs de France. Now, we haven't talked about this restaurant in quite some time. This is also in Epcot, and it's located at the France Pavilion. I think it's an underrated dining spot. Definitely something that could really, I think there are some unique things that you can get on the menu, but there's also some things that are more basic for those that are not really as interested in exploring too many different types of culinary cuisine, right?
I'll tell you what, the menu is a little overwhelming when it comes to the
reading it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
It can be really overwhelming.
I may not go to this restaurant just because I don't want to have to pronounce anything that they say on there and get laughed at by by the French waiter or waitress.
You've been here and you were certainly not laughed at. And
you know, no, they don't laugh at you. You know what I do? I just point at the menu.
That's right.
If I can't say it, I say, you know what? I'll have this.
Listen, for example, instead of trying to say filet de boeuf grillé, you just say grill tenderloin.
No, you just say this. This is probably the word this.
Yeah.
Is probably the most popular item on the menu. Because people probably just point to the menu and be like, I'll take this.
Yeah, definitely. That's definitely what they're doing there. But they have ratatouille. They have classics. I mean,
they have Boeuf Linguini.
They do, which is braised beef in a cabaret with baby onions, carrots, and pasta.
There you go.
So that's kind of how I think you can get a little less overwhelmed. If you go onto the menu, if you're home and you're trying to decide what restaurants to choose before you head over to Walt Disney World, just look at, don't look at the heading, just look at the description. That makes it a whole lot easier. And then you'll definitely see things here that you might want to try. I think there are definitely so many unique things, but also some really classics. Of course, this is one of the restaurants that I love because I love getting, I know I talk about not getting dessert at Epcot restaurants because you want to kind of walk your way and discover things throughout the countries. But here I love their creme brulee. It's so delicious. And I think overall, it's not necessarily super, there's not a whole lot to look at here. It can look a little tight from the exterior, but once you're in there, it's a nice restaurant.
I mean, I've never been to France, which is on my list of places to go, but it does make you feel like you're in a French bistro, which is the point of it, right? Like inside, it's a little tight.
Yeah.
It's a little hustle and bustle going on in there. There's wait staff running all around you, but when you're eating dinner there, it's kind of cozy.
It's cozy, and look, they have that at Epcot, right? Do you need to go to Paris?
Nope. No.
They got it at Epcot.
Apparently, I don't.
You can try things like our kids even tried the escargot ones. We split it, and it was fun to watch them try something so out there. But you can just go to the classics, too, like their French onion soup. I don't think you're going to be disappointed here. Again, the prices are pretty good, pretty decent. It's a good meal. You're in Paris. It's romantic. It's a nice place.
And worst case scenario, you're right around the corner from the French bakery to get a snack after if you didn't like your meal.
Hopefully you don't.
Yeah.
Actually, that's a good point, right? This is our opinion. I definitely think you should do your research before you head over to Walt Disney World so you're not disappointed. Of course, always keep to the code, which is low expectations.
That's right.
And when anybody comments on anything that they're excited to try something, I always say now, keep to the code. But all in all, you know, it's really our opinion and you really need to figure out what your family really would like. And of course, the price point, whether it's worth it to you. So number eight, this one is definitely not talked about a lot, especially by us, because it's located in Disney's Hollywood Studios. And everybody knows, if you're a regular listener of this show, you're going to know, I love me some sci-fi dine-in theater. You know, can't help it. But this one is a really cozy restaurant that's definitely underrated.
You can't say sci-fi. Yeah, sci-fi is underrated because we talk about it in every episode. It's like sci-fi is your tongue of toast.
Sci-fi to me is just, it's the ambiance, right? Even if they did not serve food, I would still want to go there and hang out. So that's kind of how I feel about that.
Now, so this is, of course, Mama Melrose. And I don't know how I feel about suggesting people go to Mama Melrose and saying it's underrated. I don't think Disney does pizza or Italian great.
Well, okay, coming back to the fact that you're a pizza connoisseur, right? And we happen to live in one of the places that really go above and beyond when it comes to authentic Italian food. We live right a hop skip away from Boston's North End. So it's really hard for us to even want to spend money on an Italian dinner when we're out anywhere else, just because we have what we feel is the very best other than going to Italy, right? I think that's what makes it difficult. But the reason why this one I think should make our list is because the fact that number one, it's cozy. Number two, and that going back to being cozy, I think that's important when you're in a park. I think sometimes you need that little break of, oh, this is somewhat familiar to me. Kind of, I can turn off my brain for a second with all the hype that's going around the park, right? So I think that there's a lot to be said about that. And secondly, the prices are good. I mean, the portions are good. The prices are good. It's something familiar. Do I think it's the best Italian restaurant you're ever going to have? No, but you're in a theme park. And I think it's something that can be easily overlooked. It's pretty easy to get a reservation here. You can get Italian pasta with shrimp. You can get even pork chops or chicken. Spaghetti and meatballs, like my kids love.
Gelato and tiramisu, that's what I'm getting.
That's what you're getting next time?
That's it.
Okay. But again, you know, this episode isn't necessarily to wow you with all these restaurants, but maybe can make you consider some of them for different reasons.
You bookmark this episode, and when nothing's available that you want, you go, okay, what can I go to this that's on this episode that Unlocking the Magic talked about?
I think, too, because you're going in with such low expectations, meaning it wasn't very hard to get a reservation or you're just not super excited to go here, you kind of walk away feeling really happy.
Listen, I'm telling you, low expectations is the key to life. If most people don't believe me until something happens that they're like, you know what? It is the key to life.
So again, in Hollywood Studios, this little restaurant, I just think it's overshadowed by a lot of the other restaurants in Disney. Of course, you're going to have a lot of people talk about the primetime, sci-fi. There's so many in Hollywood Studios, and sometimes it can be hard to kind of pivot to something you've never tried before, or, you know, leave the fun of like something like the primetime, which is very interactive. But to me, I think this one is something that you could probably consider, especially for those that really just want a simple meal and move on.
Listen, let's be honest.
What's that?
Sci-fi is getting a little busy. We need to make it not as busy so we can get reservations over there. So listen, you gotta talk about some other restaurants and once in a while.
This is the underlying reason why we're doing this podcast today.
Yeah, we're trying to do what Disney does when they jack up the wait times to Space Mountain. You're like, that wasn't 65 minutes. That was like 20. They're really trying to divert you to the other side of the park. That's what we're doing here.
Okay, gotcha. I follow you now. All kidding aside, I truly think this could be something that you would enjoy. And again, low expectations, but I think you might be satisfied. And, you know, when I talked about earlier about this being our opinion, I think not too long ago, it might have been Facebook, Unlocking the Magic on Facebook, that one of us posted about one of the, I don't want to say it was the worst meal they had. I can't remember the exact post, but a lot of people chimed in with their opinions on certain places. I remember I did one on like a review of the Space 220. I mean, look, I love space.
Oh, so overrated. I think it was like, what's the most overrated Disney restaurant?
Gotcha. That's the one you did.
Or the worst meal you've ever had at a Disney restaurant, something like that. And a lot of people were throwing out their worst time they had at a restaurant. A lot of Space 220s, a lot of restaurants that you would think would be great, people were underwhelmed with. And I think it goes back to that
price.
That. And when you go to a restaurant that you're really looking forward to, your expectations are so high for it that one little thing that goes wrong, it ruins the whole meal for you.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's really difficult. And I also think that you've got to have certain, you have to have people that in your party that really want, like they really love the theme. And that takes care of a whole lot when it comes to enjoying the restaurant. So for someone like me who loves the idea of space travel, really was impressed with the theming of Space 220. My meal was good, but I can see how other people, like, they're not really into space. They're kind of going into this restaurant. It's taking a long time away from their visit at Epcot because it's meant to kind of keep you there for a minute. I can see that. So anyway, moving on to number 7. Now, this one has an asterisk next to it as we're talking about it because this one is actually a restaurant that we have not been to. However, we have a hard-hitting on-location team that has been.
That's right.
And has reported back, and we really trust his opinion, talking about Jarvis here. And we understand that there are certain, I would say, pros and cons of this restaurant, but I think it's definitely going to make the list for our underrated because of that. So number 7, Raglan Road.
I think, too, if you look at the menu, they have a pretty good-sized menu for items that you can pick and choose from. So no matter what your preference is for food, they have something that everybody in your family will probably be able to get. And it's comfort food, right? Like, there's nothing. I love comfort food sometimes. Sometimes you just want to get comfort. That's why we like the Liberty Tree Tavern so much, is because it's like comfortable in there and the food is comforting.
Right. And I think sometimes you need that when you're on vacation. You need the whole package to make you kind of feel like rejuvenated, if you will, for the next part of your adventure. So this one is located in Disney Springs, and it promises to give you a taste of Ireland right in the heart of Disney Springs. And it's an underrated gem. It is a pub. It is lively. They serve traditional Irish dishes. And there's some energy at this restaurant because there is live music.
I was going to say, that's probably why we don't go. The live music and dancing kind of frightened me. Not going to lie.
Yes. However, we, again, our on-location reporter definitely says this is okay for introverts. You're not right in the middle of it where you feel like you're going to be called out or anything like that. It's a good family fun restaurant that caters to pretty much everybody. And it definitely adds a little bit of that Celtic magic to your experience. And you just leave with a smile on your face. A lot of times we skip Disney Springs restaurants for whatever reason, right? And so this one could be a way to visit Disney Springs and really kind of feel like you've gone to Epcot.
And what's wrong with a shepherd's pie either?
Right?
I mean, some braised beef.
You had me there.
I like it.
You know,
just don't make eye contact. Just don't make eye contact with the people dancing, and I'm good to go.
If you can't head to Epcot, you know, I think this would be the next best thing. There's no parking fee at Disney Springs, as of you, and knock on wood, they don't.
Great.
Have that.
Now there's gonna be a parking fee. Thanks
just
a lot.
Like, wait, hold on. Anyways, you can go there, have a good meal, have a good time. So I think this one is definitely on our radar and on our list. So again, Raglan Road, I would think I would give it a shot.
All right, next one, Spice Road Table. Now, we're probably not going to go too deep into this one because we just did a podcast episode, the entire episode about...
We literally talked about
Spice Road Table and how we loved it so much and it was great. So if
you want... Was it like an hour-long show?
It was. It was a really long show. I think it was episode number 442. Uh-huh. It's 46 minutes long and we talked most of the time about Spice Road Table and how great it is. So if you want a real in-depth... unlocked episode of the Spice Road Table, go back and listen to episode number 442. In short, it's great. Go check it out.
Technically speaking, Spice Road Table is more of what I would consider a Mediterranean style pub because it doesn't have a full plated meal. So you're looking here at more appetizers than a full plated meal. But that being said, I think it could be considered a sit down restaurant because by the time you order all the small tapas and your drinks, I think you're going to leave pretty full.
Yeah, I kind of think it fits right into the style of Epcot when it comes to eating is small portions, but shareable that you can try a lot of different things.
Agreed.
So that's it's the sit-down version of the entire Epcot food world.
Agreed. I like it a lot. I think that it was definitely underrated. It bums me out. It took us so long to try it out for the first time recently. So I definitely think that this one should be on the list of underrated. Again, I don't let the tapas menu kind of sway you. I think that was where we went wrong. Probably why we didn't eat there because we were thinking of, all right, well, how is this going to be if it's tiny dishes? Like, we're not going to enjoy ourselves. We're going to be hungry after we eat here. But no, I think the very opposite happened.
So. You just order one of everything.
You do
order. And you share like we did, and you just share it all, and you're like, wow, that was great. I didn't even realize that there was tapas was one quarter portion.
Yeah.
We just got 20 of them.
All right. Number 5. Are we going this too slow or fast?
Perfect speed. We're right on the money.
All right. Number 5. Now, I feel like this one, I think I'm going to make it tied with another restaurant that we often talk about because I can't decide whether or not that this one is talked about a lot, therefore not making it underrated, but I'm going to share it today as number 5. And this is situated in Disney's Animal Kingdom, Yak and Yeti restaurant.
I feel like Yak and Yeti has its real diehard fans.
Maybe
really
that's it.
Big voice advocates that tell you you should go there and you should love it.
Maybe that's what I'm thinking about.
But I don't know if it's the majority.
Okay. Well, this one is situated again, Disney's Animal Kingdom. First of all, wow. When it comes to Animal Kingdom, there's so many things to try food-wise. Like, I feel that Animal Kingdom is its very own Epcot. Like, they have so many unique dishes and places you can go get a good meal. But Yak and Yeti is one of those sit-down restaurants that I think kind of blends the same thing I was talking about with Nine Dragon Restaurant, whereas that there is some familiarity with the menu, but the ambiance and the coziness and then the pricing, it all kind of comes together kind of perfectly. So it's a good place to grab a meal while you're in Animal Kingdom, get away from the heat for a little bit, and enjoy things like lo mein chicken, roasted vegetable bowls, curry, some other specialties they have like miso salmon, really good fresh tasting food.
I'm going to get the pot stickers and the ahi tuna nachos.
Oh, that's what we have to try.
That's ahi what tuna. I'm on. I'm on board.
You really love the ahi. Anything with that tuna is usually get whenever we're at a restaurant.
And pot stickers, like what could be wrong with like fried or steamed dough with meat inside and then soy sauce on the side. Like, how can you go wrong with that?
I think I'm tying Yak and Yeti with Kona Cafe and the only reason why I didn't put Kona on this list today is because I think we do talk about it quite a bit as being one of the underrated restaurants. So many people probably know that by now, but I do think it's worth a mention. I think that Kona is just like another restaurant in Disney that doesn't get a lot of hype because it's not immersive. It's like in the lobby, if you will. But don't forget, you're at the Polynesian Resort. So when you get to go to the Kona, you not only get to have a really good meal, the service is really great. Of course, you could go for breakfast, which, you know, the Tonga toast and the compote, all that. But for lunch or dinner, it's a pretty good spot. And then you get to roam around Polynesian for a bit. I mean, no one's forcing you to leave. You can't necessarily utilize the pools and things, but you can definitely get a feel of the resort, look over at Magic Kingdom and see the castle in the distance. It's the whole package there. So the whole kind of restaurant, I think, kind of falls into that category of being underrated for that reason.
All right. We should do an episode about overrated restaurants.
Okay.
Because there's another restaurant that's in the same building right near it that I feel is a little bit overrated.
We kind of go butt heads with this one. Are you talking about Ohana?
Yes, but let's save that for the next episode.
Okay, because we don't agree fully. All right. Next one on the list, I think it's number 4 now. Yeah. Let's go to back to Epcot, and we're going to talk about Biergarten Restaurant.
I just have to say that I think this may be the most underrated restaurant on this list.
Yeah.
I think it might be the most underrated restaurant on this list. And you know who I'm talking to? Me.
Yourself?
Yeah, because I was always afraid to go there because people said you had to sit with people.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, I'm never going there then. But as always, Disney always has a way to make people feel comfortable regardless of the situation. So you can always ask. And it was very underrated to me.
So you head over to Germany Pavilion and Epcot's World Showcase for Biergarten, which is an underrated spot that offers authentic German cuisine and my favorite, which is the live entertainment as you're enjoying your meal. It's all you care to enjoy, which I struggle with because I care to enjoy quite a bit and I always get a stomach ache, but here it's really worth it. I'm excited to go back. I think it's definitely overlooked due to its once communal seating. I think that people just kind of ruled it out, including us, for a very long time. I hope they don't have to go back to that because I think this restaurant truly exceeded our expectations.
They had a great variety of food too, between like German classics that obviously if you're German in your heritage, you may not think are the greatest, but like Someone who's like us who isn't,
yeah,
and isn't super familiar with that German food, it was great to try that.
We tried it. This is how we've been doing Disney lately a little bit when it comes to more pricier things, like all you care to enjoy. We've been trying it alone first, and then now I think it's time to take the kids with us because we're always nervous when it comes to trying new restaurants and spending a lot, especially the all you care to enjoy because our kids are not big eaters all the time.
Not only that, but Disney considers a kid over 4 an adult.
Not that quite that young, but I know what you mean. Yeah.
Seems that way.
Yeah, it does. So I get it, you know, but this one is definitely one that I think they will really enjoy, especially that dessert buffet at the end, which I think next time I'm going to start with the dessert because, you know, there are no rules.
And you know what? It's easier than like a Liberty Tree Tavern where they bring you over the food. So it's kind of awkward to ask for more. It's not awkward. I make it awkward on myself.
Right.
The cast members don't.
So,
but this is more of a, if you want more of something, just go get it yourself. You don't have to worry about asking somebody for it.
So I normally say I don't love getting up off my seat to go get a plated food. I like the all you care to enjoy style that comes to you because I'm lazy and I don't like having to hold my plate. I'm not only lazy, but I'm also awkward when it comes to it. So
that too. And you don't like the eating together. So if you have to get up or if everybody at your table is getting up constantly to go, it never really feels like you're sitting together eating.
It goes back to like, I don't like to eat without everybody eating at the same time, but I also don't like to wait for my food to get cold. Like I told you in the last episode, like I don't even know if it was on the show that we shared this or maybe it was in our private UTM Club UTM group where I shared how I really like hot food.
Yeah, we shared that on Club UTM. We did a live show not too long ago.
So that to me is kind of an issue, but for some reason here, I don't know if it's because it's so cozy. The setting is meant to make you feel like you're outdoors in a Germany pavilion. There's something more cozy about it that it didn't make me, it didn't, I didn't mind getting up. I didn't mind going and getting my, like, it didn't seem too far from where we were sitting and all that. So I don't know.
Listen, again, that's why it's on this list. It's underrated. Give it a try. It's not, listen, it's expensive, right? $49 a person for adults. And like I said, Disney considers very young children adults. So it may not be something that young kids would want to go to because it's kind of pricey. But if it's something that you are on a date night or you want to listen to some music and get some beer and some sauerkraut and some sausages, it's a great place to go check out.
All right. I agree. All right. Number 3, we got to talk about it. It's always going to be on our list forever and ever. Liberty Tree Tavern.
And no matter how many things, Tommy's, we talk about this restaurant, there's always reservations available.
Knock on wood again, because, you know, this one is a struggle. I think the last time we were at the Magic Kingdom, we were struggling. There was reservations open and we were trying not to go. We were like, all right, we can't do it today. Like,
I almost hit the button.
I know you did. And we definitely need to go back soon because we're overdue. But definitely this one is a great underrated restaurant tucked away in Liberty Square. It really captures the essence of early American dining. It's all you care to enjoy. It's sort of a colonial style inn. And it's so cozy. It's the one restaurant that, it's weird, right? Because I often say, oh, I don't like staying at a resort in Disney that reminds me of anything at home, because then I don't think I've truly escaped. So for example, there are certain resorts in Walt Disney World that mimic Cape Cod. So we tend to avoid those. But there's, even though this restaurant is familiar and it definitely feels like home, New England, I gravitate towards it all the time. I don't know if it's maybe has something to do with the rich wood. It almost feels like it's like a candlelight dinner. That's how I feel when I'm in here, like just cozy. And I just load up on my mashed potatoes and mac and cheese and I'm just happy.
Yeah, it's like back to the comfort food thing.
Yeah.
It's very comfortable food when you're eating here. It's nothing extravagant. It's not going to be the best meal you're ever going to have in your life, but you're definitely not going to be hungry. And everything is good.
Yeah.
And everything is plentiful.
If you're like
except me. Except for that declaration salad. Get that away from me.
That's the one salad I need to have them adjust. They put apples in it, which I can't have. And I really, really, sometimes I sneak a bite and it's so delicious and yummy, but I really shouldn't.
Listen, I love salad. Don't get me wrong, but not when I'm at Liberty Tree Tavern. I don't want the rolls or the salad. I want just the Patriots platter.
But what is it? We can't help it. When we're there, we do eat the rolls.
That's because they know you're starving, because you know you're going to Liberty Tree Tavern. That's so you don't eat all day, right?
Yeah.
And then they sit there and they plop the salad and rolls in front of you and wait 10 minutes. You can't help yourself. You're starving.
You are starving. They get you right there.
Next time I go, you know what I'm going to say? I don't want the declaration salad. You know what I want? I want two Patriots platters. Hold the salad and hold the rolls.
No, the rolls are so good.
And yeah, but you can just bring those later and I'll stick them in my pocket and eat them on the people mover.
So the only thing about this restaurant that I care to enjoy again quite a bit, I just have to sometimes control myself because I try to force it. I'm like a competitive eater. I think that's what I was in a past life or something. And I really try to overdo it every time. I need to just settle down. And the only other thing I wish they would bring back is the original Johnny Appleseed's cake. That was so yummy. They do have a version now that's plant-based, which is a lot of people like it. And again, if it's plant-based, and it's definitely something delicious, but I just loved that original, even though I shouldn't have apples. But anyway, moving on. They don't like me.
That's true.
Number two.
They need to have Liberty Tree Tavern outside of the park, like an additional one.
That would be good, huh?
So somebody can go and have a Liberty Tree Tavern meal like that, but not have to be inside the Magic
Kingdom.
I'd go more.
Well, that's probably not a good thing for us.
Oh, it's not?
Again, back to me caring too much, caring to enjoy a little too much. The one restaurant that is... they do have at Magic Kingdom that is exact menu is the Diamond Horseshoe. I do think if it were me and I was going to this restaurant for the very first time, I would definitely ask to be in the original Liberty Tree Tavern restaurant. I don't necessarily want to go to the Diamond Horseshoe. For a long time, they were shuffling guests over there too, but you can book the Diamond Horseshoe. It's the same exact restaurant. To me, when I look at the Diamond Horseshoe, my brain goes to ice cream.
And quick service.
Quick service, because that's what it's like in Disneyland, which is, it's hard for me to process in my brain.
It's hard to get the same menu at a place with a totally different environment and the same price. And you're like, well, if I'm going to pay these prices, I want to be in the original.
Yeah.
I want to be in that bathroom that fits two people tightly.
Why is that? I don't know.
It's tiny. It's an old New England bathroom. It's got like 4 square feet.
I think it's maybe the Diamond Horseshoe to me is a little too bright. It doesn't make me feel like I want to have a cozy Thanksgiving dinner.
It makes you want to have a show, right? Maybe a show and some popcorn and a snack,
and a sundae.
Yeah, not a declaration salad, that's for sure.
Yeah. Anyway, not to say anything so negative. I mean, a lot of people might like it, but that's just my opinion.
Name those people.
I don't know.
I don't want to know who they are.
Two people.
If you like, how do you like that over Liberty Tree Tavern?
Maybe you do. Maybe it's a little easier to seat. Maybe because you know, it's a little more spacious. You can feel like you can breathe a little better. I don't know. All right. Moving on.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Number two. This one took us forever to go to as well. And again, I'm not sure. I think it's still underrated, actually. Reservations aren't as easy here. But
see, this might have made it onto my overrated list. I feel like this is another one that has the camp like Yak and Yeti where people are really heavily vocal about how great and how much they love this place. And then there's people who don't even know about it.
Oh, well, I thought you really enjoyed it.
So. I did, but I don't know if it's underrated.
Well, maybe properly rated. I don't know. But this one is Jungle Navigation Company Skipper Canteen located in Adventureland in Magic Kingdom.
Although my hearty har har char pork was really good.
What was that?
You know what I'm talking about.
So this restaurant offers some humor and adventure. It's a great dining experience that is inspired by the Jungle Cruise attraction. We did a whole episode about it. The menu has flavors around the world. It's definitely a memorable meal and definitely has a side of that Disney storytelling in the restaurant. I do think next time we go, I would prefer to sit somewhere else. I don't want to stay here because like maybe it can be our little insider thing, but there's a better section, I think, for me that I would want to stay and eat when I'm at this restaurant.
I was expecting The Rock to come out.
You were.
If you smell what The Rock is cooking, I was trying to smell what The Rock was cooking. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I don't know if I know what you mean now.
That's his tagline in wrestling. Oh, okay. And then he played the character in the movie.
Got it.
Right? So, like, you know, that should be something that they do.
Yeah.
I was waiting for that. It didn't happen.
Okay. Well, back to pricing. $15 to $35 per adult. Of course, that doesn't include any kind of drinks, which can, I think, add to your bill.
Significantly.
Yeah, that definitely adds a lot. But overall, I think the menu is pretty good. There's something for everyone. It's fun. The cast members here really get into their role. But it's not overboard where it might be a little awkward. Like, for example, sometimes the prime time is a little bit too much for some introverts in our family. This one is just enough where it's funny, fun, good food, great ambiance, and you're in the Magic Kingdom. It's still immersive enough, but not over. It doesn't overdo it where you're just overwhelmed.
I enjoyed my time there. I think we did a whole episode about this one too.
We did.
Where we kind of unlocked it and talked more in detail about it. And I think I went in there with really low expectations. And I was like, all right, I guess I'll go. People were talking about it a lot. And I was like, I don't know. For some reason, I just wasn't into it.
Yeah.
And then we sat down. Our waiter was really nice and into the role. And the food was great. I thought my pork was really good. And we got a couple appetizers, and the dessert was good. I thought overall I had a good experience there, so maybe that's why.
Yeah, I liked it a lot. I thought there's some things that I thought were better than others that I enjoyed, and I actually looked around a lot. I love people watching. I'm sorry in advance if that's awkward, if you see me kind of looking around. I can't help it. That's kind of how I decide on what to order as I look around at other people's plates, and a lot of people seem to enjoy their meal too. I like that. That to me says a lot.
You can always tell if they enjoy their meal by when they're done. Like, you don't want to stare at somebody while they're eating, but when the waiter or waitress takes the plate away, you can always tell how good it was by how much is left.
I 100%
agree. Like, if there's a lot, that's how we used to tell in the restaurant business how good something was. If there was a lot on the plate and it was kind of taken back and you saw it multiple times, you're like, what was wrong with this?
Right.
Why aren't people enjoying this?
Yeah.
But there was a lot of empty plates, which is a good sign.
A lot of clean plates.
Yeah.
Right? Plates were cleared.
I mean, I hope they have clean plates. I would hate to get a dirty, like, food on a dirty plate. That would be weird.
They ate their plate clean is what I meant. And I think that overall it was it's a fun restaurant for the price. It's in the perfect spot in Magic Kingdom. I think it definitely tells the whole story. So if you're heading over to Adventureland and you really want to get immersed in that whole area, I think that could be a fun way to incorporate either lunch or dinner as part of that, as part of your experience of being in that land.
You can always tell if you would go back. Like, if you don't hesitate, if I said, would you want to go to the Skipper Canteen, and you don't hesitate and you're like, yeah, then you know it was a good restaurant.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes Ohana, if you said, Bruce, let's go to Ohana, I'd be like, I don't know.
Too hyped up.
Yes. It's like too hyped up. It's like inexpensive, right? It's an expensive, hard to get restaurant.
Yeah, that bread
pudding. And I don't know if it's worth the hassle.
All right, we're going to argue here because the bread pudding really has my heart. But yeah, I know what you mean.
I heard from somebody, though, that you can get that at Kona if you ask nicely.
Was that me?
Maybe.
I don't know. You can get it at the bar area.
Can I get it in my room at the Polynesian?
Maybe.
Probably.
You really got to be nice.
I'm in the bungalow. You know what I want? I want the bread pudding.
Yeah.
I'm not in the bungalow, by the way.
Neffler bungalow for
I still have to do that whole bungalow knock on the door and be like, excuse me, what do you do for a living?
Okay, are we ready for number one?
Yes.
All right. We do talk about this one a lot, but this one has to be number one underrated restaurant, I think, of all Walt Disney World. And this is Sanaa.
All of Walt Disney World? That's a big statement.
I think it is. I think it's very, very underrated. I think people might think that this is too spicy for them and they kind of don't think they'll enjoy it. So they overlook it. This is nestled in Disney's Animal Kingdom Lodge. I think it definitely transports you on a journey and definitely has that ambiance throughout the whole restaurant.
I think this is a very well-themed location and restaurant itself. Maybe the best themed when it comes to like the overall location of it being in Animal Kingdom Lodge and then the restaurant itself and the views you have. Maybe the best themed restaurant in all of Walt Disney World, for sure.
I mean, I just think Sanaa's the whole package. Not only is the theming spot on, I think the restaurant, it's intimate. It overlooks the savannah. So you have that going on. I think for the price, you definitely... I don't know. When I walk into this restaurant, I'm not thinking a whole lot originally because it's not very expensive. When I walked in for the first time, until this day, it feels very high end. It's like a high end kind of atmosphere because there's so much beautiful architecture around the restaurant, because you also have that setting of the wildlife next to you. It just, to me, I think, speaks volumes of what you're about to experience. And then the menu itself, I mean, of course, the naan bread is so yummy. There's so many different dishes that you can get. I think that you can truly, if you look deep into the menu, whether you do maybe some just appetizers at first, I think there's a meal for everybody.
I think you should get the salad sampler and the Indian style bread service for the appetizers. That's what you should start with. Gives you a little bit of a mix, like the Indian style bread service, you know, you're going to be able to have, but then your adventurous side can go with the salad sampler.
Yeah. I love this restaurant. It's always going to be my number one as far as underrated. I'm never hesitant when we think about going here to eat. The kids really love it. I think just going there and being able to experience and like extend it, right? So back to why we love Kona, because you get to kind of hang at the Polynesian for a bit before and after your meal if you want. Same thing here, where you get to kind of roam around Animal Kingdom Lodge and kind of see everything in the savannah and all these beautiful photo opportunities that you can have. And because Animal Kingdom Lodge, you know, caters to the wildlife, it's tucked away. It feels like you've gone into a whole nother world and a whole nother planet, because it kind of takes, it's separate from all the kind of hype birdness and kind of, I don't want to call it chaotic, but like some of the resorts are busier.
Yeah. Wild. After you eat too, there's a lot of places around the resort to kind of sit down and relax a little bit before you get back in your car, if you're not staying there, or go back to your room.
Exactly.
So it gives you a chance to kind of observe. You know what? I'm looking at the menu now, and the one thing you should not get on the menu.
Yeah.
The cheese pizza. On the kids create your own entrees. They should take that right off the menu.
Poor kids. That's fun. I saw next to us a kid creating their own pizza, and actually
in Sanaa?
Yeah, and it actually looked really fun. They were like, felt like they were little creative chefs building together their pizza. So I don't know. I don't want to knock that.
I'm knocking it. I would have made my kid move out of my house if they ordered the pizza at Sanaa.
You know, you laugh, but there was a time where you did allow it, and it was fine. You know, sometimes you go to a restaurant and you don't want to whine. You want your kids to be happy. And you know what? If it makes them happy by building their own pizza, so be it.
I would feel bad as a parent, though.
No, I think you're forgetting what it was really, really like.
Maybe that's true.
You kind of like to block it out.
I would say to the waiter or waitress, I would be like, you know what he meant by cheese pizza? Chicken fingers.
That's better?
Yes.
Oh, God.
I mean, it's better than the pizza.
How about the lamb kefta?
There you go.
All right. Well, that's the list for today. I mean, we only did top 10. I'm sure there are a bunch of others that we probably can include either in a future episode, or we can talk about it, you know, whether on our socials somewhere where you can chime in. Let us know what you think.
Or maybe we could do an underrated quick service. We have to do underrated quick service, overrated quick service, and overrated restaurants in general.
Overrated makes me nervous. Here's why. Overrated is, I think you have to have a rule. You have to eat it there at least twice to really judge it as overrated. And I think because restaurants can have a bad day.
Oh, I was going to rate them by how badly I want to go there and how hard they are to get in.
Oh.
And I was immediately going to say it's overrated, so people don't go there.
That's smart.
So we're not on the same page when it comes to the style of that episode, but we'll have to discuss that off air.
All right, off air we'll do that. We'll all do right. that. That's our UTM. What's that at night?
Yeah, UTM after dark.
Okay.
Couple things to just throw out there. Club UTM, if you want to join that, you can. Unlocking the Magic Travel too. UnlockingTheMagicTravel.com. We're putting up a lot of blog posts, like I mentioned. So if you do want to get some information about cruising or Royal Caribbean or other things outside of Disney, like Universal, Orlando, or Hollywood, go check out the blog over there.
Yes. And we have on our website at Unlocking the Magic website, you'll see where we included some new merchandise that has rolled out. There's some UTM mugs, hats, some really fun t-shirts and other items, sweatshirts on there. I think all with a fun pun, whether it's an attraction or a saying that we often say on the show. So check it out. And if you do happen to purchase merch, first of all, thank you. That really helps support the show. And also tag us. Wear the merch in a park.
Oh yeah, we have on our website too. Tag us a picture because we'll put you on our website. We have UTM merch in the wild. Like people taking pictures of them eating Tonga toast
with the
Tonga toast shirt on.
Yeah.
And there's like me, I need big sizes. So we try to go up to 4X or 5X on the shirts and sweatshirts too. So
I love it. I love oversized too stuff. And, you know, I highly suggest like the men's sizes that for me that like that's what I love. But over there, if you definitely tag us, it makes my day, to be honest with you. Like, great if you're on the website and all, but it just makes my day. So if you can do that, that would be awesome. And again, just share the show. Let people know about it. That's really how you can support us.
Thank you so much for tuning into the podcast. We'll see you back here next week, everybody.
Bye, everybody.
My little brother's friends have been camped out at our place for 2 days straight.
Three.
It's because of the Xfinity 10G network. Internet that can handle a house full of screens at once with, like, basically no interruptions. And it's only getting faster. When I was their age, internet like this was a pipe dream.
You sound like my grandpa.
Please go home.
Introducing the next generation 10G network, only from Xfinity. Restrictions apply. Not available in all areas.
There was a time when sunlight turned the earth into a gallery, when elegant estates welcomed works of art that drew us closer and closer together. It was a captivating time. It was spring, this spring at Biltmore. Plan your visit or overnight stay so you can enjoy the marvelous works of Chihuly while every corner of Biltmore blooms. Reserve now to get spring savings at Biltmore.com.